Today, as we draw nearer to the close of the liturgical year, the church year begins next Sunday with the beginning of Advent, we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to the RCIA class, those who are thinking and praying about entering the church at Easter, about the Bible. And there are, of course, a million ways that we could have approached this, but I found it helpful to talk about it through the lens of covenants, how God has been in relationship with his people through time. You know, the story of salvation history through covenants spelled out for us through the sacred scriptures, and how each one of these covenants, starting way back at the dawn of creation with Adam and Eve, is leading us to the new and eternal covenant, Christ himself, the King of the universe, present to us in this and every Mass. And one of the main figures in these Old Testament covenants is King David, whom we hear about in the first reading today. And King David is a type or a prefigurement of Christ for us. And so far in the Old Testament, God's relationship with his people has grown from the very beginning, from marriage being the form of the covenant, with Adam being the mediator, the person between God and his people. And this relationship grew into Noah being the mediator, the new mediator between God and his people. God's people became a household with Noah as the father. And then came Abraham next, who mediated as a tribal chief. The people of God now became a tribe. Moses followed as a judge. Israel became a nation. You know, each of these developments, each of these growths in the relationship between God and his people are good things. The deepening, the renewal of the covenant always comes with additional blessings for God's people. You know, all of them are leading up to this moment when Israel has the desire to be like every other nation. They want to be a kingdom. But this is a little bit of a problem because God has always been their king. And when they're faithful to the covenant, not only have things always worked out, but they've been great. They've been great really beyond words. God has blessed them incredibly, beyond their wildest dreams. He's given them their own nation. He's given them their own land. He's taken them from slavery into a land filled with milk and honey. But they insist, the Israelites insist, they have to be like everybody else. They have to have a king present to them in bodily form here on this earth. So God hears their prayer. He answers their prayer. He gives them Saul. Just like we hear in the first reading. And initially it's good. But then Saul chooses to love the power of the kingship in himself over the Lord of hosts. And it goes badly. Really, really badly. Quickly. And so God has to fix it. God sends David. He sends the great king to restore Israel, to renew the covenant, to make things right. And throughout all of history, David is recalled as the great king. All the kings in Israel are compared to David, but still, David is capable of sin. He's capable of making mistakes. He's capable of error. And we see that too in the scriptures. We'll see that later on. And one of the other big problems with David is he can't make up for the errors of his people. And as a mediator of the covenant, as the go-between, the guy between God and his people, the man who has a foot in both camps, one on earth and one in the heavenly realm, that's his role, to be able to fix the problems between God and his people here on earth. And we need something more in a true mediator as the people of God. And that's where Christ comes in. We need the true king. We as a people need the one who can lead without erring, the one who can lead without making mistakes. We need the one who will not be corrupted by the love of the power of kingship or love of himself. We need a king who will always act for true love of his people and not for his own interests or desires. You know, that alone is a tall order of any human person. People like that don't grow on trees. But we're not just any normal people. No, we as God's people, we need a king who will lead us in worthy worship, who will always be mindful of the covenant, and who can restore us to right relationship with the Father when we've gone astray. And that last one, the ability to restore us to right relationship with God, is something that no man has ever been able to do. That's not just a tall order. That was impossible until Christ. And that's the reason for this celebration today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, when he comes into our midst, he tells us that he has not come to abolish the old covenant, but rather to fulfill it. And when we hear in each and every single Mass that he is the new and eternal covenant, Jesus comes as our royal high priest, as our kingly high priest, present to us in the sacraments of the church. And he's leading us toward the kingdom that will never end, the new and eternal Jerusalem, our heavenly home, that kingdom that we have been made for. And he guides us by means of his teachings, by means of his grace, and most especially, by means of his mercy and his divine forgiveness, that thing which can restore us to right relationship with God, is made available to us through the cross. It's made available to us through the sacrament of penance, which has the power to do which no one else before him could. Restore us to that right relationship with God. Restore us to that divine flow of grace that we've been made for. That's who our eternal King is. That's why we celebrate this great day. Because this new and eternal covenant that we've been made for, this new and eternal covenant that we live in, that's how our King leads us. And that's the celebration of this day. That's the capstone to this year of the church, this year of mercy. That's our eternal King.